Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Apple's Golden Product.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. People who own stock in Apple have to be happy about the iPhone. Yesterday, Apple's share shot up more than 4% to a record high above $132. But not everyone is smitten with the device. One consumer group fired off a letter to Apple complaining about the battery replacement procedure. You have to send the iPhone back to the company and pay more than $80. Plus, hackers have already figured out how to get the web browser and iPod to work without paying for phone service through AT&T. Apple stock gave the NASDAQ a boost, but the broader market was squishy. The Dow fell 11 points, just a fraction, to 13,565. The NASDAQ added 11. The S&P 500 gained just half a point. Today in Asia, most markets saw minor gains. Stocks in Europe are mixed so far. Until recently, if you wanted to watch the TV network Al Jazeera in English in the U.S., your best bet was to move to Vermont or Ohio. A couple of small cable companies were offering it, but Al Jazeera has started broadcasting from its website. The only thing is, you have to pay to watch. Jeremy Hobson reports.
Al Jazeera English does offer a free stream on its website, but it's still managed to sign up 20,000 U.S. subscribers to its fee-based online service. They pay about $6 a month to watch the channel live with a better picture.
I'm Shirley Ghosh.
And I'm Sami Zeidan. This is Al Jazeera.
When it comes to internet TV, there are two ways to make money: ads and fees. Fees are tougher, but it's a good business model for Al Jazeera, says Josh Burnoff with Forrester Research.
It's a niche audience, but more than that, it's a niche audience that is very interested in the content.
It's similar, Burnoff says, to the success of foreign language broadcasters who offer streaming video online. A niche audience just wasn't there for CNN's online video service called Pipeline. The fees on Pipeline went away last week to make room for ads. Al Jazeera hopes it fares differently and that success online will prove to cable operators that the channel is worth carrying. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
In Bangladesh, you can eat out at a good restaurant for about $5. But a new report says most people in Bangladesh and other poor countries can't afford a basic trip to the grocery store. More now from Jill Barchet.
Save the Children says wages in poor countries are so low that many people cannot afford to buy protein and vegetables. Ina Schoenberg works for Save the Children. She says acute malnutrition is a problem in at least 20 countries that are not affected by war or famine.
Households live on between 20 cents and a U.S. $1 a day. But, for example, feeding a family of five in Ethiopia and Myanmar costs an equivalent of $1.27 or $1.15, respectively. And families often during the hungry season or sometimes even year-round just can't make ends meet.
There's a big debate raging over how to solve child malnutrition. Save the Children wants to launch a global welfare program to funnel cash from the world's rich nations directly to poor families. The World Bank thinks the West sends too much food. It wants to educate mothers instead of making them dependent on the West. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com.
The race is on to build the first fully sustainable place to live. China's planning an eco-city on a huge island about an hour ferry ride from Shanghai. About 500,000 people could live there. No cars will be allowed, and the city will capture and purify water. In Abu Dhabi, they want to build a smaller walled town. It's being called the world's first zero-carbon, zero-waste city. Tomorrow is Live Earth, the day of rock concerts organized by Al Gore. It's designed to get young people interested in global warming. In the Netherlands, some young artists and entrepreneurs have already gotten the message. Rico Galliano takes us to Rotterdam, the country's nightclub capital.
One Friday afternoon at a Rotterdam nightclub called Worm, I meet Mike van Haasbeek. He's
Well, I'll let him tell you.
I'm Chef de Ping Ping from Worm.
You're Chef de Ping Ping?
Ping Ping is money. If you drop money, it sounds like ping, 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 coins.
In other words, he's Worm's CFO. Mike and the artist collective who run Worm did not drop a lot of coins on building the club, though, and here's why.
This was all built 80 to 90% with recycled material.
While a Dutch indie rock band sound checks, Mike shows me around. The club's toilets are old oil barrels. The door handles are reused bike handlebars. Even the ventilation pipes were salvaged from a demolished office building.
We spent 300 euro per square meter. Normally you spend 1,500 euros a square meter.
But the idea wasn't just to save money. Worm is Rotterdam's most vivid example of an idea called sustainable clubbing. Night spots minimizing waste and energy use. Michelle Smit works for a startup company called the Sustainable Dance Club.
An average club uses 150 times the energy that a normal family of three people uses a year. If you look at water, it's 170 times. If you add those things up, there's a lot to gain in clubbing.
Michelle's goal? To open a Rotterdam club that uses every energy-saving resource available, including the clubgoers themselves. Michelle rolls a video describing a dance floor that turns dancing into power.
Certain materials produce electricity when squeezed, so a dance floor can become one big generator.
We've called it Harvest Your Energy. With the electricity generating dance floor, we're trying to use that power that you got to power the lights.
I guess my question is, if you've got a club that's even partially powered by dancers, what happens if the DJ really sucks and nobody wants to dance?
Yeah, that's a lost night. You should go home.
Meanwhile, back at Worm, a band called Pourquoi Me Réveiller rocks a crowd of 100 people. Some might not know or care the club's walls are made of recycled real estate signs, but Mike van Haasbeek, chef de Ping Ping, doesn't mind. The only thing that bugs him is calling the signs recycled.
It's actually upcycled because it's having a better life. It was in a dull office building, and now it's in a cool club.
In Rotterdam, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
We'll have some photos of the Worm nightclub on our website this morning. That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.